and gentlemen, it's my pleasure at this time to bring back, I would say, a good conversational friend of mine. We've had the chance to talk quite a few times. Always the pleasure to talk to the Warlord of Weird, Mr. Sin Bodhi himself. Welcome back to the show. How the heck you been? You look like you've had a long day.
Booga, booga, booga. I'm driving around Las Vegas right now in my clown paint. I just got wrapped on doing a fantasy camp with four lads from Germany. They flew in just to kick my butt. And so I'm literally driving home in clown paint right now because I wanted to sort of get tidied up there instead of at the wrestling school. So just another typical silly day in the weird land in Sin City. So
do you ever roll down the window at the stop sign and just see what people look back at you if you have the makeup still on?
Bro, all the time.
You look, big smile. That's one of your favorite things, isn't it?
Oh, dude, I love it. Cops and old ladies are the best.
Have you ever gotten pulled over and got out of it because of that?
Yep, I sure have. Right. One night I was actually driving home, me and my buddy, who was actually, he was Scorch the Clown. He was in clown paint. And I was actually, it wasn't in clown paint. I was like, I still had the long hair and I was all dressed up like this kind of scorched, like a demon. Like I looked like charbroiled. Now these devil horns still stuck to my head, like kind of like spearmint glued to my head and all that stuff. And this cop pulls us over coming back from LA going to Vegas. And he just kind of walks over, just kind of shaking his head, like kind of like, what the hell? Kind of giggling. And he goes, are you guys okay in here? And we just both kind of were giggling, like, yep, everything's good, officer. He's like, well, we've gotten more than one complaint that there's some deranged psychopath driving around with a corpse in the front seat. So I assume, you know, Scorch looking very much like John Wayne Gacy and me looking very much charbroiled. I guess, you know, real life humans can kind of put two and two together and figure, this might be a job for 911. I don't know. But, so I politely checked my pulse in front of the officer and said, no, I seem to be all right. And he hasn't done anything inappropriate to me. So we're good. And we all got a good chuckle and they just said, well, just all right, drive safe. And he walked away just shaking his head like, man, this wasn't just another typical day at the office for him. So.
I'm sure he told that story to everybody when he got back to the station that night. So I don't doubt that for a second. Let's talk more about the wrestling school and what's going on down at the Snake Pit. I know you were down there. You got Sin Bodhi's fantasy camp going on. What else has happened down at the Snake Pit?
So ever since we merged with FSW, which is Future Stars of Wrestling, now you've got me, Sin Bodhi, D'Lo Brown, Jake the Snake, Kenny King, Disco Inferno, Kikitaro under one roof. And then we always have like guest instructors popping in, sometimes Daivari or TJP or Teddy Hart, Shane Helms, you name it. The list goes on and on and on. We have everybody in there from Jimmy Hart to Ricky Steamboat to Gangrel to you name it. So it's pretty awesome one-stop shopping. Like you can get... you can get your fair share of knowledge at the FSW Snake Pit for sure.
I mean, there's not much more to say than the long list of names you just mentioned of people that you can learn from there. I know that before you and Jake and D'Lo were knocking it out of the park, but this sounds like an even more enhanced, just kind of times 100 kind of experience.
Well, I'll tell you what, if you got a calculator in front of you, or if you're any good with your little piggies, you can do the counting. Well, let's see. I'm going into my 21st year. Kikitaro, I want to say, is about 27 years. D'Lo is about 23 or 24 years. Jake is 40 plus years. And Kenny King is about 20 years. So whatever that adds up to, there's your accumulated. Oh, and in Disco, my bad. Disco is about 25 years, I think, ish.
That's 157 years of wrestling experience.
How many years?
157. I did that all in my head.
Bam. There you go. 157 years of wrestling experience at the FSW Snake Pit in Las Vegas. So if you want it, come get it.
Tell everybody where they can go to find everything for the Snake Pit down there.
Oh, cool. Okay. Well, if you just type in either Snake Pit Pro Wrestling or Future Stars of Wrestling, it'll all pop up. Same on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. And then, too, you'll always see me putting updates on my own social, which is Sin Bodhi, all one word, SinBodhi. So that's Sin with two N's, Bodhi like the tree. And then you'll see me always sort of stuff. You'll see, like, tonight we actually have a Hacksaw Jim Duggan and Million Dollar Man Ted DiBiase seminar at school for the wrestling students. Excuse me. And then tomorrow night we have a Q&A road stories kind of thing for the fans with Jim and Ted as well at the school. And we're sort of jockeying them all over town, doing all sorts of stuff. Like, they have a signing at the mall, and then we're sending them to Hollywood on Friday to go to Giphy and do some cool stuff. And they're going to do a podcast at Samstown this afternoon, going in right before the seminar. So we're keeping them busy. Yeah. So anyway, but yeah, if you want to see and listen to Jim and Ted speak their knowledge, I'm sure it will be interesting. So yeah, just check out the Snake Pit Pro Wrestling on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. It's all there.
Before I move on to you and what you got going on, tell everybody where they can go to get the experience of Sin Bodhi's Fantasy Camp.
Okay, again, you can go to Sin Bodhi, whether it's Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, but you can also go to Sin Bodhi's Fantasy Camp. Sin Bodhi's Pro Wrestling Fantasy Camp, depending on if you're looking on Facebook or Twitter or Instagram, but it's all there. Like, if you just kind of type it in, the Google will take care of you. You will find it.
Excellent. People got to find you. People got to take advantage of what's going on out there Vegas.
Today we had four dudes. They came in all the way from Germany to do it. And so we kind of set it up. And this was sort of like everybody wants something a little bit differently. You know, one time I had this Marine, he came in and he just wanted kind of like, just to kind of get it really put to him. And he wanted like three straight days of just filling his head with as much wrestling knowledge as I could jam pack into his skull in 3 days. So we really put it to him. He was in great shape, but this is for anybody. Like, this is for, I mean, we kind of joke and say 18 to 81, like, no athleticism required. Like, just bring your inner child and we will have fun. Like, this is, everybody, guy and girl that have come and done this, like, always walk out of there like feeling like a little kid. They're like, man, I feel like I'm watching in the 80s again or whatever. Like, you know, I keep them all safe. They don't have to do anything outrageous or whatever. Like, we'll always tailor it to fit their physical, you know, strengths and weaknesses. So, like, you know, nobody's going to go in there and do a 630 or a 1450 or a 23 Skidoo or a triple Lindy or whatever. You're going to come in there. We're going to show you some fun stuff. We're going to have a laugh. We're going to tell you some road stories. You're going to kick my ass all over the ring. And then two, depending on what guest road star we have in, whether it's a Sabu or a Gangrel or D'Lo or whomever, and then we do it. So today this was me doing it. So we arranged it where it was kind of like 4-on-1 where they tagged in and tagged out. And then we did all these spots with them. And then I got some heat on a couple of them, and then they all came in and kind of ganged up on me, and we mapped it out, aging it out, something really fun. And then we did it, we filmed it. So the people that come in as the fantasy campers, they get to walk away with like a really cool edited video and a photo library to sort of kind of like bragging rights, just to show, hey, I was crazy enough to get in the ring and got in the ring with this crazy wrestler and took care of me, and it was fun. And this is what we did. And that's what I tell everybody. And then when we get there, that's what we do. But then when they leave, I tell them, hey, make sure you go back to your husband or wife or whoever you got and sell. So that way you can get out to doing dishes or cutting the lawn that night or for as long as you can sell, you know. So there you go.
Sin Bodhi, you are a smart, smart man. Let's talk about what's going on with you. I know you've been pretty busy. Let's talk about you and OVW. I mean, the Anarchy champion for all summer. What, that was a 5-month reign, and now we got a big show coming up again. Talk to me about how you've been feeling about wrestling in OVW.
Oh, it's a lot of fun. Working for Al Snow, he was one of my trainers. He's a good friend of mine. I really respect Al. Anytime I can go help OVW and, you know, the talent they're in, it's my pleasure. That's where I got signed to WWE when I was first Kizarnying around the planet. So that's where I got hired. So thank you, Mike Bucci. Thank you, Nova, Simon Dean. I appreciate the confidence. So every chance I get to go back to OVW, it's a great time. And yes, I'm currently sort of feuding with Amon, the pastor of disaster. So he's a mean little thing, and he makes battling fun. And then Gangrel, of course, he likes to stick his nose into my business sometimes. So, you know, we had that. We had a 280-pound scary vampire into the mix. That's always a good time. And I want to say Amon and Miss Marvelous just did this thing where they were getting hitched. So, of course, I had to interrupt that. And so in a week or so, when I arrive in Louisville, I guess, you know, as the priest says, if you got a problem with this, you know, speak now or forever hold your peace pipe. So I spoke now. So we have some business to attend to in Louisville in the next week or so.
You have some great videos on social media. I try to keep up with them on your Twitter feed, which is a great Twitter feed. So make sure you go ahead and check that out and follow Sin all over there on social media. But you can kind of see some of these wishes he sends to his opponents in the future. You can also check out some of the awesome new t-shirts you got out there. Do you want to promote your wonderful line of t-shirts quickly?
Oh, sweet. Thank you. Yeah, if you go to prowrestlingtees.com/, Sin Bodhi, SinBodhi, and there'll be a whole plethora of wacky shirts there for your purchasing pleasure. All sorts of silly stuff, good stuff, fun stuff.
My personal favorite is one that I probably wouldn't wear around my mother.
Your mom likes my finish? Your mom likes my finisher?
Well, that makes two of them now then. Let's keep moving on along. I want to talk about FSW and the last show. You had a triple threat match. You were victorious. Kyle Hawk and Shaggy McLovin. I think you even have that match up on your social media too, correct?
Yes, I do. Yes, I do. Yeah, both a couple of good guys. They are students from the Snake Pit. They're my kids. Kyle Hawk was originally trained by Kid Cash, who is another good pal of mine. So I sort of adopted Kyle. He moved out this way, and Cash asked me to kind of take him under our wing. So we did, and he's a great talent, and he helps out at the school. He's one of our junior coaches. And Shaggy, phenomenal. I think Shaggy's got – I refuse to say his last name. I can't stand his last name, so I just don't even say it. But I can deal with Shaggy, so I can handle that. But he's a great kid, got a lot of fire. I want to say, like, he's got that sort of – that young Ricky Morton-ish, Tommy Wildfire Rich-ish kind of vibe to him, where he's just got that fight from underneath, you know, kind of ballsy babyface thing going on. So I definitely think both of those cats are going places, and you know, just watching them grow and kind of nurturing them is a really cool, rewarding thing to see them. Like when I first met Shaggy, he was a spindly little kid. He was the shits. He didn't know what he was doing. And then we got our hands on him and we kind of smoothed them out, showed him what's up. And he just really took the bull by the horns and really took every advantage to learn and so forth. And he's really, really coming to his own, and I'm very proud of him.
There was also something else that was very interesting, in my opinion, that happened at that, I believe it was the same FSW show, Killer Cross and Funny Bone. And that was Killer Cross' last match before he was going to be eventually signed.
Yes, sir.
Any comments or thoughts on him moving forward and, you know, taking the jump?
Yeah, another good talent, another good guy. I remember, like, you know, being his coach, watching him taking his first baby steps at FSW. And so, like, I coached at FSW, and then I left, and we made our own school, the Snake Pit, and then kind of full circle, we came back, and we all kind of got under the same roof together and so forth. So I helped train, and I actually worked Cross in one of his, like, first couple of matches. Guys like me and Funny Bone would kind of, like, as kind of player coaches, get in there and smooth out new guys and stuff. And so Cross was one of those dudes. He was a lot to work with, you know. I mean, no matter how hard I work out in the gym, I'm never going to be 6'5", whatever, however the hell tall. Kevin Cross is, but I want to say he's at least 6'4", 6'5", or something like that. And so, but having his first handful of matches was a pleasure. Coaching him in his earliest days was a pleasure. He's always very quick to learn, asked a million questions, asked all the right questions. You know, he's got drive and hunger for days. He's clever. He's got charisma. You know, I mean, all the good stuff, you know, a successful wrestler makes, he has. And I'm very happy for him, and I hope he does great down there. I think he will do phenomenal.
I got two things I want to ask you about real quick, but before I do that, is there any other shows you got coming up that you want to promote? Let everybody know what's going on. I know you got the show on the 17th in Sam's Town, and then I think there's a PCW Ultra show in March or something like that. March 27th, I believe.
Yeah, got tons of shows coming up. Yeah, PCW in Los Angeles, OVW in Louisville. I will be at Heavy On Wrestling in Duluth soon. Go all over the place. I'm getting ready to go back to Mexico, getting ready to go back to England. I'm going all over the damn place. I'll be in Tampa WrestleMania weekend doing a bunch of different shows. I don't know if you guys can hear on a totally other note that has nothing to do with anything. I just walked into my door, my circus tent here, and my cat, Mr. Fuji, is trying to tell me stuff, but I don't know exactly what she's saying. I think she's not telling me to feed her because she has a big plate of food here. I think she's just yelling at me that why wasn't I at home all day petting her. But anyway, so there's my side note of my little tangent on my little cute little cat.
Yeah. Hey, cats are divas. I get it. I have two, unfortunately. And fortunately, they can be okay.
And now I'm getting bombarded with my big, huge pit bull and mastiff mix Ox Baker wiggle beans. So now I'm like Dr. Doolittle in real life. Me and my wife do a lot of animal rescue stuff. And so our house is full of all sorts of wacky critters, myself included. I guess my wife included too.
Somebody needs a reality show, I think.
Oh, brother, tell me about it. At my house is the wackiest place ever because I don't know if you know anything about weird Vegas history, but Warren Jeffs was this weird cult leading, like polygamist, like Mormon dude that is in jail for life. And he had this big, huge Mormon polygamy sex compound in Vegas. And when he got arrested for all of his shenanigans, yours truly scooped up that sweet property. So that's where I live. So I live at a place on the edge of town that looks exactly where you think I should be living. Like, it's like this big gated fortress. Like, it's like Castle Grayskull, and it just overlooks all of Las Vegas. And it's just the gnarliest, craziest, weirdest house. And honestly, I didn't go hunting for it. I didn't even know who Warren Jeffs was until me and my wife tripped over this place and realized, like, hey, why is this place going for such a great deal? And we realized, you know, when something bad happens in a place, then it's really hard to either resell or whatever. And so I was just like, psh, looks cozy to me. So, there you go. So
that's all right. I don't
Casa
know.
Casa de Sin Bodhi, a former Warren Jeffs sex compound.
Human or spirit of the past, I don't think either would be smart to be messing with one Sin Bodhi, in my opinion.
Yeah. I don't mess with the ghost, and the ghost don't mess with me. So we're good.
There we go. All right. Two questions for you before I let you go. I know you're a busy man. Thank you once again for coming on. Really appreciate it. One, I know you're good friends with Edge. How did you feel when you saw him come back at the Royal Rumble?
Oh, man. It was a big, huge secret, and I was just super happy. It was like I was watching Bambi. Like, I teared up. I felt so happy for him. I felt so proud for him. I felt so scared for him. Like, I mean, I remember way back 100 years ago when I had hurt my knee and he had hurt his neck the first time, and he was literally in a halo and I was in big knee brace, and we're hobbling around like we had just survived World War III or something. And like, people would come up to him and like go to almost like slap him in the back, like out of like being friendly, like, hey, it's Edge. And I would literally grabbing people by the arms not to like touch him, because just to protect him. And the same thing, and he's helping me upstairs because I'm pretty much a human pogo stick, you know. So we looked like we had just been through hell or whatever. So, you know, we're longtime brothers. He's as close to me as my own little brother is. Like, Adam Copeland is my flesh and blood. Like, he is my blood brother. I would take a bullet for him, and I'd like to think he would as well. So I was super duper happy that, you know, he got to come back on his own terms. And
I think he's definitely going to do awesome things, and I think he's only going to elevate the WWE. I think he's only going to elevate whatever opponents he works with, and I think the fans, I mean, you saw the reaction when he came out at the Rumble. Like, what a reaction. That is an organic reaction where people care about you. They don't just care to see your whatever move or your whatever fancy pair of tights. They want to see that person. You know, whether he came out in a pair of jeans or whether he came out in his rated R trench coat or whatever, people were just happy to see him come out and do what he does best.
Yeah, I can't, there's not much more I can add to that. I mean, we all thought he was done for, and just to see that guy come back and get another chance. You and about a million plus other wrestling fans watching live were welling up all at the same time when he came back. So kudos to him. Thank you for sharing your thoughts on that. One last thing. You said on Twitter, true or false, did you have a conversation with The Undertaker about Chuck E. Cheese's validity as a restaurant? And then you, the next day, you said the answer is true. Can you give me anything on that story, on that conversation you had about Chuck E. Cheese with The Undertaker?
So to verify and reiterate, yes, that conversation happened, and it is true. We did have that conversation. I was for Chuck E. Cheese. He was not for Chuck E. He wasn't like healing on Chuck E. Cheese. He was just on the fence about Chuck E. Cheese. I was trying to sell him on Chuck E. Cheese. I was trying to convince him it was amazing, and he was just sort of a hard sell on the situation. So he didn't bury Chuck E. Cheese. It wasn't anything like that. He was just like, I don't know, bro. I don't know. I kind of need a little bit of convincing here. And we sort of went through a few details. You know, we talked robots. We talked pizza, you know, all that stuff. And all right, kids. Okay. Maybe Chuck E. Cheese ain't so bad. You know, so that's my really crappy Undertaker impersonation.
And, I thought maybe he got beat.
I want to say Justin Roberts' birthday party, and then Taker was like, where are you guys going? And I told him we were going to Chuck E. Cheese. And he was just, at first, the conversation opened up with like, man, we celebrated birthdays a lot differently back in my day. And the conversation just sort of kind of went from there.
Wonderful story.
There you have it.
Wonderful story. I appreciate it. Hey, one more time. I know you're a busy guy. Get you out of here. Tell everybody where they can find you one last time.
Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. You can find me at Sin Bodhi, SinnBodhi. So that's Sin with two N's and Bodhi like the tree. And I have all sorts of show updates, merch updates, just the weird updates. I always throw up videos of, you know, promos, wrestling matches, little gifts of stuff, and just all sorts of doodads that are all things wrestling. And hopefully you are amused and, you know, check it out, and you'll definitely see where I'm going to be performing next. And I'm kind of like that whirling dervish that kind of flies and frolics all over the damn planet. So keep an eye where your Warlord of Weird will be next, and I will be there.
Your Warlord of Weird, Sin Bodhi, is coming back. I hope no black kitties cross your paths. Do I look like I'm clowning around? Dee 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 dee.